Was off.
Hey everybody, welcome to Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. I'm Matt.
I'm Dory.
Hello. If you might hear some rain out there in the wilderness, but it's okay. Don't worry about it. It's like a meditation, you know. Just if we turn on the rain in the background, you can do that on the Calm app. You can just add rain. So pretend you did that.
You can add rain to any meditation?
Yes, I believe so.
That's pretty cool, actually.
It's either that one or... No, I think it's that one. Hmm. I've added rain to things.
Hmm. Cool.
No need to do that here. Nope. Out in the Berkshires.
Where it's been raining for a week.
It has. You know, we got a little bit of that tropical depression sweeping up the coast, and then it hit here right sort of... I mean, right when we left Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And it has not relented.
No, we had one day where it didn't rain, but it's mostly rained.
Yeah, but not like the whole day.
Yeah, not the whole day.
It's been nice.
And honestly, like, I prefer this to it being like 90 degrees and sunny.
Yes, I agree.
So.
That's what we think of you, son.
We're sick of you, son.
Yeah, we are. Also, we're sick of you, Henry. No, just kidding.
How dare you?
Yeah. Travel. After last week, everything's been a breeze. If you're wondering, the car ride to the Berkshires from Connecticut was fine.
Yeah, he slept for half an hour.
He did?
Yep.
I don't remember that.
He did. He slept for half an hour.
Did we leave during his nap time?
Around his nap time, yeah.
Mm. And, you know, we just played some Super Wings. The audio of Super Wings really calms him down.
Yeah. He does love it. But he also is developing a real love for the Spice Girls.
Yep. He's into it.
Thanks,
you know,
to Dita.
Yeah, guys. 25 years since the Spice Girls album came out. So, you know, according to my YouTube recommendations, it was like, you'd like this video about Wannabe? And I'd be like, sure I will. And I watched it. I was like, yeah, it's a good beat. Good songs. Play for Henry, see if he responds to it. And he does, and did. He also sat there and, like, fully engaged watching the music video for Wannabe.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Pretty proud of him. He likes a good pop hit.
He does. He does.
What else does he like now?
Well, he's saying more words now.
Saying a lot of words. The words are coming fast and furiously. He's repeating everything.
Henry.
He repeats that. He goes, Henry, Henry.
And when I say,
Then I was taking him out of the restaurant today, and Dory called me back to the table because she didn't have a wallet, and I gave her my wallet. She goes, Matt. And then as we're leaving, Henry goes, Matt, Matt. And I was like, nope, I'm Dita. And he goes, Dita. And I'm like, yep. So
yeah, we, you know, it seems to be some combination of speech therapy twice a week, preschool, Miss Rachel.
Yeah, songs
the
for
YouTube,
littles.
The YouTube videos that he watches, which I don't know if I ever mentioned, were recommended by an egghead. So yes, thank you, egghead.
Egghead out there said, you know, this helped. And I was like, okay. And the fact that they're like 3 hours long is helpful.
Yeah. Icky, sticky, sticky, sticky bubble.
Yes, that's Nita's favorite. And you pull them, and you pull them, and you pull it away.
But you got to be careful because in every video, there's at least 2 to 3, if not more, songs that you have to skip with him.
Yes, that he demands a skip happen.
And he now knows when the song is coming.
Yes, he sees those rabbits in the background. He's like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now that he sort of vaguely has figured out how to hit the space bar on the iPad.
Yes.
That's been a thing, so... Screen time with us, you know, as happens with both families when you're on vacation.
And it's raining.
It's raining and you've got to keep a 2-year-old occupied indoors has gone up exponentially. The airplane didn't help.
No.
Kind of dreading the return flight, but...
I tried showing him Trash Truck on Netflix today. He loved the opening credits.
Yes.
And then he kind of lost interest.
Well, don't you remember, like, Super Wings, all he wanted to do was see the theme song over and over again?
So maybe that's what we'll start with Trash Truck. He was very intrigued.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a talking trash truck.
Well, that's...
Who's friends with a little boy named Hank.
Oh, my God. That's Henry.
Who looks like Henry.
Yeah, that's Hank. Does Henry feel like a Hank yet? Not yet.
I don't think so.
He might get there, but right now he's just Henry.
Yeah, he's just Henry right
now. Henry!
Yeah. In other...
Oh, sorry. I elbowed our headphones.
You. In other book news, I did not make the Times bestseller list.
So y'all failed us there.
Yep.
Thank you. Everyone who didn't pre-order, it's on you. Everyone who did pre-order, thank you for doing your part and attempting to get Dory on the bestseller list.
Well, you know, life goes on.
Life goes on. And, you know, maybe it's a slow burn.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, I'm trying to think. Like, you know, I bet Running with Scissors didn't crack the bestseller list when it came out.
Oh.
But, you know, it's a book we all know.
That's true.
As far as memoirs go.
That's true. I also just want to mention, I arranged it with Book Soup, the bookstore in LA that we did the launch event with, that if you still want to get a personalized copy of my book, mm-hmm. you can still order it through them. There's like a special link to order it that I will put in the show notes.
Well, there you go. Dory will make it a habit to head over there and sign books.
Yeah. So, you know, you can get anything you want on there. For people who said they were eggheads, I added my hot dog count for the year.
Still zero?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
There you go.
4th of July happened in zero.
Yeah, and there were hot dogs on offer.
They were. What's the buzzies? That's the buzzies. They were Hebrew National beef.
Not your fave.
Hard pass.
Yeah, hard pass. Not your fave.
It might as well be a turkey dog. Ugh. Get it out of my face. Veggie dogs don't count either.
Before the break, I wanted to read a couple emails about my book, if you don't mind.
Well, I think without a bestseller list to your name, I think the best we can do is let you read about your book.
Thanks, I appreciate
that.
Because
they all let you down, so now they have to listen.
Well, this first email is from Amelia, who said, I cringed and laughed through listening to your story of your recent horrendous travel experience to the East Coast. So sorry that happened to you. I'm emailing primarily to say to Dory that your book, Thanks for Waiting, was great. I had pre-ordered it, but was away on a mini vacation when it arrived at my home, so I only just got it, and I've already read all of it. Huge congratulations to Dory on writing your story so openly and so well. I have a question about one of the topics you mentioned relatively briefly in your book, learning how not to let nasty as opposed to constructive criticism bug you, because it's almost always more about the commenter than about you. I wonder if you can say more about that. Specifically, can you categorize the main types of negative feedback you've gotten while putting your life and your thoughts out into the world and the main underlying reasons why you think people write those things? I'd be curious to hear your and Matt's reflections on that. All the best, Amelia. Still in NYC in 1,000 square feet with a husband and 3 kids and plenty of veggie dogs consumed, but that's it.
They don't count.
So this, I thought this was an interesting question. The main types of, it's hard for me to kind of categorize the main types of negative feedback, but
well,
one sticks out to me in particular.
Yes.
And that was the email that we got about when Henry was about 6 weeks old.
About us being ungrateful?
About us being ungrateful.
Our realtor friend who
yes.
I don't remember.
Mary, I think her name was.
Yeah. I guess we do remember.
I do remember that. You know, I often find that this type of person is often projecting a lot.
Okay.
And they
so maybe they don't feel grateful.
Yeah, yeah, because there's something that triggers them mm-hmm. to like kind of completely out of proportion.
I mean, you're talking to someone who does that constantly regarding guilt.
Right. And you're always projecting.
Yes, because I always have a deep-seated guilt.
Yeah. So you get it.
Yes, I do.
So I think that's... I often think about that when I see these types of things, like people trying to sort of compensate for something that they feel bad about in themselves.
Yeah.
Is one thing. The other thing that I sometimes think about is like, if it's like a truly nasty email or note, mm-hmm. I think like, how miserable of a person do you have to be to have the energy mm-hmm. to write this to another person
and the time
and like the thought, like it just, then I get sad for the person who wrote it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think we've all sort of been in that spot in our lives. Maybe, maybe not, but like, you know, it's sort of, it got to that point with me in Twitter, you know, in 2016. And I just was like, I literally have nothing nice to say.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like, because of that, I'm going to back away here. I don't need to be on there just being negative about things or people or, you know. And it's like, if I see something that I think is not good or whatever, I can just accept that I don't think it's that good and I don't need to project yeah. that out into the world and be like, I didn't like this.
Yeah.
Veggie dog.
Yeah. I also think that sometimes it's, and maybe this is kind of two sides of the same projection coin, but it's like born of insecurity and feeling like you want recognition from the person that you're emailing. Like when people tell us that they're going to stop listening to the podcast.
Yeah. Instead of just not listening,
it's like, they clearly want some sort of reaction from us. They want recognition. Yeah. It's like when a little kid acts up because they want attention, you know?
Or like when Henry goes on the stairs that are clearly not for kids.
Right.
At this cabin.
Yeah. So I don't know. I hope that answers your question somewhat.
Get your hand off your computer.
Sorry?
No, your computer. You were just touching your computer.
I know I was.
And you were causing...
Because I was about to scroll down.
You're grounding yourself.
I was about to scroll down.
Two fingers only. Don't touch the exterior casing. You can touch the trackpad, no problem.
Okay. All right.
Did you do it?
Yes, I scrolled.
I didn't hear it.
Okay, good.
I heard it? Did I hear it?
Nope.
Okay.
Okay, this is from Anonymous. Dory, I just finished your book. I wanted you to know I loved it. I did the audiobook version and it took me 3 days. I didn't want to pause and I didn't want it to end. It was so good. I've followed your story since maybe halfway through the first year of Excellent Adventure, then of course became a Forever 35 listener when you and Kate started that. We finally had our IVF baby about 3 months after you had Henry. I also had a terrible labor. 2 failed Foley bulbs, failed Pitocin, and other
doubled up on your
painful induction methods before I gave in and asked for an epidural. 40 plus hours later, I spiked a fever, never got dilated past 5 centimeters, so ended up with an emergency C-section. That was basically my story, too.
Yeah.
Also had a lot of trouble breastfeeding, had to combo feed for the first 6 to 8 weeks, which I ultimately gave up. We also just transferred our last embryo a few months before you transferred your Mosaic. Ours, too, failed, and now we are processing what our lives will be with one child. I've written to you before about how helpful hearing your story and the hundreds, probably thousands of, at this point, of other stories you've shared through your platforms has been for me. I guess I just wanted to write to say thank you again, and I really loved your book. I connected with the John section in particular, which I hadn't heard you talk too much about in your podcasts. And as a fan, I really loved hearing about you and Matt meeting and the early days of your relationship. I know you said you wouldn't write a book again, or at least not another nonfiction memoir. But I just wanted you to know that it is really, really good, and I'd read another. Fingers crossed for the New York Times bestseller list this week. Well,
she's talking about next week.
Anonymous, if this is read out loud,
legs.
But I just wanted to send this to you and... No, wait, sorry. She says, Anonymous, if this is read out loud, side note to all the listeners, if you do read this on the pod, buy the book. Even if you don't read the book, which you should, it is just nice to support the creator of the content you consume. I approve that message.
I've always approved that message.
2,200 square feet with a dog, 2 cats, and an almost 2-year-old science baby. No hot dogs last year. Hopefully none this year.
I'll often do that. Like, for instance, like when the pandemic started and like it was like, what is happening out there? I ordered a guitar from Eric Daw of Fret Files podcast. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He built me a beautiful Lake Placid Blue guitar. It was at the very beginning. And not realizing that guitars had become the thing everyone needed in quarantine. And he'd be fine. But still, right. I was like, I need to support. And then the Fretboard Journal, I also got the digital subscription for the magazine.
Oh, cool.
Because I was like, well, you know, it's like a little thing I can do to support it. You know, and I'll have it on my iPad and that'll be nice. And I still read the hard copy of it. There's like little things like that where I'm just like, I really like this thing and I don't want it to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Let me support it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Do you like Dory's books? Do you want them to go somewhere? Exactly.
Do you want me to keep writing books? I mean, you might not, which is totally fine.
Yeah.
But if you do, then I don't know, but maybe buy it. All right, let's take a short break. And when we come back, I have one more email that I'd like to read.
Wow.
Okay.
BRB.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Are you ready to get active? Well, think Bombas. The better basics that take sweat wicking, blister preventing, friction-free movement seriously. Look. They finally admitted it. It's in the ad copy. Golfing is among the activities that Bombas is proud to be a part of. And nearly every time I golf, Bombas socks are a part of my golf game. In fact,
same for today, tennis. Same for tennis, oh, Matt.
I had to wear the high ones today because it was 37 degrees.
Wow. I bet you loved those soft, breathable materials.
I loved literally everything about them, including their fun bluish-green color. Look, nice. I've been talking about Bombas forever, guys. Socks, underwear, t-shirts are the number one, two, and three most requested items in homeless shelters, and that's why for every comfy item you purchase, Bombas donates another comfy item to someone experiencing homelessness. Performance socks are made with technically advanced features like proprietary hex tech. Oh, that makes sense now that the hex is stitched in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, it incorporates sweat wicking.
See, the light bulb's going off.
Ah, supportive strategic zone cushioning, built-in ventilation to increase airflow. Bombas are a gym bag staple that are made to last and a golf bag staple. And if they experience any wear or tear, Bombas will replace them for life. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Hold the phone.
Wow.
But I was like, I got to get some socks replaced. And then I realized none of them are in need of replacement. Their performance socks are very colorful and comfortable, and you'll want to wear them even when you're not working out or hitting the links. No matter how you like to get active, Bombas has something for you. Gripper socks to help you stay balanced in Pilates and bar, or Dory's dad, whose favorite thing is socks that have grippers on the bottom. Left, right foot contoured running socks give you a perfect fit that won't slide in your shoe. Merino wool socks keep you comfy and supported all day while on the course, baby. Bombas has a 100% happiness guarantee. That means you're covered for life. Reach out anytime. Their happiness team will help facilitate easy returns, exchanges, or replacements. Go to bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure at checkout. Wow, that was a classic. Thought I hit the button, but didn't record situation. But ooh, luckily, my eyeballs were on it.
That could have been bad.
It could have cost us a whole 16 minutes.
Oh, no. All right. We heard from our pal, Diane M. Martin.
I mean, really just a if Excellent Adventure were a museum, there would be a Diana Martin wing.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like more than a friend of the pod.
Yeah.
All right. She says, "Hi, Dory, Matt, Henry, and Beau. I really enjoyed Dory's launch event. I was so excited to see the book on my front porch as well as on my Kindle. I'm going to take some me time this weekend and enjoy your book. I really love Startup, a novel. Your writing is so comforting, like wearing an oversized wearable blanket while drinking hot cocoa and snuggling with my kitties and puppies."
I mean, that's a good review. It's that cozy. Like, it's your thing, right?
I love that so much.
Your co's.
I wish I could have that as a blurb.
Did any 35ers, that's what I call them. I don't know what you guys call them.
Self cardigans.
Yep. Okay. Mine's better, but whatever. Did any of them write into the podcast about my accidental spoiler thing that I won't really mention here, but.
No.
That's
they
good.
Didn't.
They all kept their mouths shut.
They kept
I like
their
it.
Mouths shut.
That's what I like to hear.
Okay, Diane continues. "I have a couple of random questions. What microphone were you using when your headphones lost power? I loved the sound. The sound was very rich and warm. I have a Samsung, not to be confused with Samsung, Samsung USB microphone."
Wait, S-O-N or U-N?
S-O-N.
Oh, okay. Samson. Yeah.
Samson.
Okay.
Yes. But I emphasized the sun because I didn't want to.
Yeah. I thought someone was just going for it. And we're like, well, we'll just call it Samson. They can't do anything to us. It's spelling it with a U.
No, it's with an O. It's a Samson USB microphone.
Say Samson.
Samson.
There's no way anyone confuses that with Samsung.
Okay. Samson. Samson USB microphone. Yeah, my AirPods lost, like they just disconnected from they had power. They had juice. They just disconnected from my computer in like the middle of the Zoom.
So you plugged in the USB microphone appropriately.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
That's great.
But it was just like, I was annoyed with my AirPods.
I mean, look, I'm not sure which versions of those AirPods you have, like if they're my first pair. Or...
No, they're AirPods Pro that I... Is that what they're called? The
noise canceling ones?
Yeah, the noise canceling ones. Yeah. I bought them.
They're not the ones that are engraved that say, "Man,
no,
Ira lost these."
They're not those. Oh, okay. But they also disconnected from a live radio interview I was doing.
That's why I generally like, I don't like to go wireless in a situation where I need it.
Yeah, the live radio, I had to call on the phone. I guess I could have called from my computer.
Yeah, but who'd think to do that?
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, all right. 2, what is the brand and make of your piano keyboard? As music majors, they make us learn piano. I'm starting to become comfortable with where the notes are. Eventually, I want to invest in a good keyboard. You seem to love yours. Reading about the various models has been frustrating and confusing. I have a Roland.
Classic Matt birthday present.
Yes.
R12C, if I remember correctly. Does that sound like a thing?
Let's see.
It's weighted keys.
Yes.
I can search while you, because you're grounding out weirdly.
He doesn't like how
you're buzzing. Okay. That's all.
All
right. So you wanted an electric piano, right?
Yeah.
With weighted keys. That was the key.
That was
Diane.
I really just wanted weighted keys because I didn't want it to. I think that's the one I have actually.
No, that's an upright piano.
That's an actual piano?
Yes.
Oh.
RC12. It was the one that was like around $1,000.
I thought it was like $900.
That's around $1,000.
Okay, fine.
And we got a Guitar Center.
Yes, we did.
And it was weighted keys and... You know, a company like Roland, who's been literally making these things since they existed, we figured you can't go wrong here. And that's what we went with. I wish there was a thing to like, I wish they just would have
pianos.
Electric piano.
They literally do.
I right wish
there.
They had that thing. No, see, now back to grand pianos, upright premiums, upright pianos, portable pianos. I'm gonna click on upright pianos.
Well, that's what I asked you to.
The
click
initial
on
thing
the
you
place.
Said
See,
to click
digital.
On.
These are digital pianos. That's literally what I said.
That is exactly what you said.
Oh,
but now here we are.
God. I might.
I don't even know if they make it anymore. RP, that feels like it. RP 701, RP 102. What do you think?
I don't know. They all seem very similar.
Yeah.
I've been very happy with it, I will say. That looks right.
That looks like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can do
and
that.
And it has, yeah, it has an app
that you could use if you'd
and
like
And it has
to.
Like 1,000 different...
And Henry knows how to turn it on. Henry knows those look like your buttons.
It does. They have those.
I think that's it. The RP-102.
Yeah. And
avoids costly maintenance and saves space in your living room.
Also true.
What else could you
not
want?
In our living room, but it does save space. You never have to tune it.
That's the other thing. I mean, I can't tell you how many piano tuning situations happened at our house when I was a kid. It was just like, this thing's out of tune again. My mother would pay to have a guy come over.
Right, because it's not like you can just tune a piano by yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I think if I had a piano, I would learn.
And you probably yes. would, but like most people don't.
Anyway.
I feel like at some point in my life, I will have a non-digital piano again. But for now...
I think we'll have it in our Berkshire's home that we get yeah. when we win the lottery.
Yep.
Or I win a jackpot on a slot machine.
Okay. All right. Before we get to the rest of the...
It's
got to
be on an interior wall.
I hope you enjoy your vacation. Cannot wait to hear how flying with Henry went. She sent this before.
Well, it didn't go well. Yeah.
Thank, I would... and then she says, I hope all is well. Diane. Thank you, Diane. Just want to remind everyone that you can also send us emails at DoreyandMatt@gmail.com or MattandDory@gmail.com. You can call us or text us at 413-461-BABY.
When we were driving from Connecticut to here, we landed in the 413 area code.
Yes, I was very excited.
And I was like, what are you talking about? She's like,
I was like, 413-461-BABY? Hello?
And I was like, why are you just saying the phone number to the podcast out loud? She's like, look at the sign. It's 413. I was like, whoa.
Took him a minute.
Did you just deliberately get to Massachusetts?
Yes.
Nice. Sad it wasn't 978 or 617.
I don't think those were available.
What was my original area code? 508 when I was a kid. It changed.
Mine was 617.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Rubbing it in?
No, just saying.
Yeah, whatever. You city folk.
Wow. All right. Okay, so let's move on. We heard from a lot of listeners about
BJ's Wholesale Club,
sad music,
and
toddlers.
In case anyone's wondering, I had to buy a BJ's Wholesale Club membership card out here, and we went to BJ's. And then I was like thinking, the closest one's probably in like San Diego, so I don't need the fancy membership. And then Dory looked it up and was like, no, the closest one's in Ohio. I was like, we should cancel this once we're out of here. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, this is from Anonymous. This is in response to Henry's sad/teary reaction to lullabies. I don't have any kids myself, but I remember when I was little, let's say 5 or 6 years old, I was scared of certain songs. I specifically remember hating the end credits song to the show The Big Comfy Couch. And I always changed the channel or turned off the TV because the lullaby type song made me feel like the characters died at the end. It sounds morbid and illogical, but that's the association that little me had formed in my head. I also remember being scared of the song, The House of the Rising Sun. I loved that song. When it came on the oldies radio station, as I fell asleep at night for similar reasons. I know there was another song on the radio that scared me more, but I can't remember what it was called now. These songs just spooked me for whatever reason, and I would be too scared at night to get out of bed to turn off the radio or change the station.
House of the Rising Sun, I get the spookiness of it.
It is a spooky song.
It's an
song.
A minor.
And it's like an organ, I think.
Yeah. Well, or it starts with a guitar. Yeah.
It's on
organ. There is a house.
Yeah. I have no idea why these types of songs scared me, and I still think lullabies sound more spooky than comforting, but maybe Henry has a similar type of weird association in his mind about lullabies too. Anyway, I've never written in before, but I've been listening since almost the beginning. Dory, I bought your book and have been reading it at night before bed, and I'm loving it so far. I also feel like a bit of a late bloomer myself, so it's really resonating with me. Thanks for all the hard work you guys do and for sharing your stories and struggles. Have a great summer. P.S. Two adults and two cats in a one-bedroom plus den apartment on the east coast of Canada. No hot dogs in a very long time, but did have a smoky last week.
Nice.
What's a smoky?
I assume it's a smoked sausage.
Oh, sure. I think that's all I'm supposed to report. Hard to keep track.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that. That's an interesting data point.
The smoky?
The scary songs.
Oh.
Okay. This is from Susan. Hey there, wanted to respond to the song signal about Henry getting emotional from lullabies. The same thing happened to me. I would always, always cry at You Are My Sunshine and There's a Hole in the Bucket. They both made me so, so sad, and I can still well up if I hear them. One might understand You Are My Sunshine, as the second verse is pretty sad, but There's a Hole in the Bucket, no explanation. Anyway, I don't know anything about the reasons behind this at all or why they affected me even as a baby, when I assume it's not the words that would make me sad, but I want to let you know what happens to me too. Take care. Love the pod. I just remembered something.
Yes, go. It flooded back to you.
There is a song that makes me cry even now.
Which is?
Puff the Magic Dragon.
He Lives by the Sea. Is it the harmonies?
What no, it? It's like thinking about how he's like actually just like imaginary, and then the boy like grows up and he doesn't.
Yes, that is a sad premise.
Really sad.
Hang in there, honey. It's
like,
okay.
Even just thinking about it makes me sad. Like, I can't listen to that song without crying.
I for sure get it. Look, the guy yesterday, we were in the Berkshires, and I forget his name, Dennis or David? Guy playing out in Great Barrington
David.
At the gazebo.
His 40th anniversary.
He's been playing there for 40 years, and people played You Are My Sunshine. And I was listening to it, and it's funny, You Are My Sunshine is like, this is a Fretboard Journal plug again, but like they have every guitar player sort of play their version of it and like put it all together. It's on YouTube. You can watch some very cool versions of it. But like it is like it is a sad song. That guy's voice was great.
It was good.
And very appropriate for the
setting.
Yeah, it was sort of like John Priney kind of.
Yeah.
Had like some sort of, I don't know, had like wisdom to it.
Yeah.
A lived denim.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You could see why he had been playing there for 40 years.
Yeah.
And then they played that song that Henry knows.
And he got into it. He was like, yeah, excited. He was excited. By it. Mr. Sun.
Yeah. Thank God they didn't play the bunny song.
Oh, I would have had to run him across the street to the car.
Literally. All right. We also got a voicemail on this subject.
Good morning, Dory and Matt. It's Katie Shinden, Ventura, California. Calling in about the song signal. OMG. Yes, I have experience with this with my Kinder Music students. A couple in particular. So two kiddos that come to mind. One little boy was right around Henry's age when he really, and I had him in class as an infant too, and it didn't happen until he was into his twos, that he would really react to often to our quiet songs. So in class each week we have one quiet song. The kids for like 90 seconds. We really don't make them rest too long. But just to practice resting without sleeping and building that love of relaxing, we start early. And every time we would play a quiet song in class, when he was two, all of a sudden, same thing like you described with Henry, just quivering lip, really emotional, looked like he was about to cry. Very, you know, intense feeling. He was really feeling that music. And so his parents were concerned and was like, oh, yeah, I think he's fine. And I kind of would always watch him when we were putting on the music, and I tried different songs because the traditional lullabies definitely triggered him. And then a little girl, same situation. She was also in her twos. Both kids are still in my class. They come with their younger siblings now, and we still do quiet time. We still play lullabies, and the kids are fine. They're both, one's three and one's four now.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think some kids just feel it more strongly. You know, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think he's really feeling that music. And as a musician and music person, like I know you guys are too, just embrace that. All right. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you for professional opinions. Yeah, it is. We were talking about it to, who were we talking about it to this week? We're talking about this to your sister. I feel like she still doesn't. It's hard to grasp.
It's hard to describe. Yeah.
I don't think people really like understand
the magnitude.
The
instantaneousness,
the intensity, and the rain's really coming down. If anyone's wondering what that sound deck there is, the intensity and the and just the well, how deep that well is. Mm-hmm. Of emotion that flows out of the child who now I would say in the last week or so he sings Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
He does,
but he sings the word happy. So like we'll be walking around with him and he'll just start going happy, 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 happy. Like, so I feel like that, you know, Twinkle. So for instance, I think that song is like he's now, he owned that song. Like, he decided.
That song never made him sad, though.
It didn't?
No.
I thought it did. But anyway, no. But I feel like he's just like.
He's like, this is my
that's
jam.
That's his happy song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, so he just says happy. Happy, 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 happy. Happy, 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 happy. And like, we'll hear him doing it, like, not prompted, nothing, just
sometimes
happens.
I hear it, he's I hear in his it, yes. crib, and he's singing
yes,
it.
Yes, I hear him singing that, and E-I-E-I-O.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, he was doing it with the Henry.
He was doing it with Saba, but he can't say S, so he's saying Haba.
Yeah. He does it with Biku. Which is,
but he also sings Twinkle, Twinkle, Little
yes.
Star.
And he'll fill in the words for you yeah. and whatever. So he knows the lyrics. He just chooses only to sing yeah. the word happy.
Well, along the same lines, Andy wrote in to say, my 2-year-old daughter has the same reaction to Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
Mm.
She gets so sad and just keeps repeating, it's okay, star, it's okay. No reason. It's half heartbreaking, half humorous. Love you all and all you do. Both of my kids have listened since in utero and recognize your voices. Andy from Arizona, melting in 1600 square feet, 2 big humans, 2 tiny humans, 1 old mutt, maybe 3 hot dogs.
I like the guesstimate on the hot dog count.
Yeah.
And I enjoy Arizona while you can, because at our current rate it will be unlivable very soon. The heat is on.
Yet another reason to move to the Berkshires. I mean, we're all going to be climate refugees soon.
We will. God. We've really done it.
Yep.
Way to go, humanity.
All right. One last email on this topic from Yaffa. My almost 2-year-old also has very specific and unexpected song aversions. Since she was very little, the Haim song, Don't Wanna, made her lower lip quiver and her burst into tears. Occasionally we try to play it now that she's older, but she still cries. More recently, the Rafi song 5 Little Ducks does it as well.
Henry,
and that does it to Henry too.
That's a trigger for Henry as well.
5 little ducks went out one day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's him. Telling
and that's not in the minor key.
That song is not.
It's just a sad song.
That song is lyrically, I think, is what that
yeah.
does to him.
Yeah.
Because, like, the shark one, remember when the shark 5 fishes and the shark would eat the fish? 4 yeah. fish left.
Yes.
That song, at first, caused him some trouble. But recently, he watches it.
But the ducks one is about a mama duck losing yes. her baby ducks.
He does not care for that.
No, it makes him very sad.
Yeah.
On another note, she has a favorite Chromeo song about staying in bed and doing nothing. No explanation, but I can relate to Henry's recent song aversion. I'd like to think my daughter is just an empath/artist/creative soul.
I mean, that's the hope, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the empathy is like, great, we've knocked that out. You're not a sociopath.
Yeah.
So, way to go, Henry.
Nice job, everyone. All right, we're going to take another break. BRB.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
We've returned.
Hello, everybody.
No time between.
Yep. All right. We are going to hear a voice memo.
Voice memo.
Hi, Dory, Matt, Henry, and Beau. First, I want to say thanks for making this show. You were all companions to me throughout our IVF process, and I really appreciated having that sort of virtual support network, and it made me feel less alone, and I'm really grateful to you for that, so thank you. I'm calling in hopes that you can send out a couple egg signals for me, one about only children and one about donor embryos. So we are a super fortunate family. We have a 7-month-old science baby from a single round of IVF. We did our round abroad in Barbados, and the process produced 4 untested blasts, and he was the only resulting baby from 2 transfers of 2 embryos each. He is healthy and wonderful, and we love him so much. The reason we had to do IVF was because my husband had a failed vasectomy reversal. He has 4 grown kids. The youngest are twins turning 21 today, actually, the day I'm sending this. So we are older. I'll be 37 this year, and he will be 55. So if we're going to have another one, we need to get planning soon. And I'm an only child, perfectly happy with my life, but I do remember wanting siblings when I was younger, and even now can see the benefit. But I'm a, you know, well-adjusted, healthy adult for the most part, and don't necessarily feel deprived. But because of our age, the age of our son's half siblings, and the lack of even like close cousins nearby, I have a fear about him being lonely as he grows up if we, you know, die younger. But I also am not convinced that fear is reason enough to have another baby. I did also always see myself having 2 babies, but that was before I knew we were going to need to do IVF. So it's complicated. And the second thing is that I have this irrational fear of going through another round and then having another healthy child and then having extra embryos that we either have to donate or destroy. And I was afraid of that the first time around too. And obviously that we didn't have that issue because he's the only one that, implanted and took. But now that we have him, I feel differently about what those embryos represent. And I think it would be not only more traumatic to have a transfer fail next time around, but it would also be a lot harder for me to give up any remaining embryos, but we don't want to have more than two babies. So I would just love to hear from anyone who's given up embryos to another family or chosen to destroy them, just to hear about like that decision-making process, what life after the fact has been like, how they made peace with the decision, et cetera. Obviously jumping the gun, it would be a blessing to have that problem. But I both can't imagine destroying them, nor can I imagine putting what feels like literally our baby made of our bodies, to giving that to someone else. I just feel like that would be really hard for me, but I know people do it all the time, and it's an amazing gift, so I would be super curious to hear from anybody. And I just love to hear from parents of singletons about how you came to the decision to only have one, or have made peace with only being able to have one baby. And I know, Dory and Matt, you are probably having these same conversations yourselves currently. It's a hard one. So we are living in the suburbs of Minneapolis, Minnesota, in about 2,200 square feet. I have a husband, a science baby, and a mutt named Pisco. I've had 1 hot dog so far this year left over from a grilling party. Thanks so much, guys.
Cold hot dog. You can do better for yourself. I've not heard singleton before.
Oh, I have. You're not in enough parenting Facebook groups.
Not yet. I'm in a lot of John Singleton fan groups, the late great director, auteur. Okay. Interesting cause of trepidation.
This felt a little bit to me like little bit putting the cart before the horse.
Yeah.
Like, I just kind of wanted to be like, let's take things one step at a time.
Yeah. Step one, Barbados. Step two, retrieval.
Yeah.
Step three, fertilization. Step four, genetic testing. Step five, implantation. Step 6, beta test.
Well, not implantation, transfer and hopeful. Hoping for implantation.
Transfer is step 6 then.
Yep.
Step 7, implantation. Mm-hmm. Step 8, beta. Mm-hmm.
Step 9, ultrasound.
Step 9 through 40 get real stressful.
Yeah.
And then, you know, yes, are you putting the cart before the horse? We thinks. But also, like...
But I get it.
Yeah.
But I think it's also sometimes, I feel like in stressful situations, you end up fixating on, like, one aspect of it because contemplating the rest of it is, like, too stressful.
Yeah.
So it seems like she's fixating on this question of, like, what will I do with my extra embryos?
How, yeah, it's an interesting thing to fixate on. You're less fixating on, I want a sibling for my child, and more fixating on, what do I do with the others, the other embryos that I may or may not have?
Right.
That's a worry before it needs to happen.
Yeah.
A cart before a horse.
As
wait, but you need the horse to pull the cart. These horses aren't pushing these carts.
And look, I don't mean to like diminish your very real anxieties. You know, like these are real.
Of course.
These anxieties are real and you are fully like entitled to them. But I do think it's worth kind of taking it step by step. And in the meantime, you know, we'd love to hear from people who have had to deal with disposing of embryos that were normal or not normal or, you know, donating embryos. So let us know. All right. This is from...
How did you do spending time this week with your nieces and nephews? You know, who are in all groups of two.
Yeah.
Did you feel like, poor Henry?
A little bit.
You did?
A little bit.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I felt differently. I felt like we could barely handle the one maniac.
I was thinking, you were thinking about it from a parent perspective. I was thinking about it from a child perspective.
Uh-huh.
In the sense of, I feel like both of our sets of our set of nieces and then our niece and nephew, mm-hmm. who are from, you know, two different families. Both of those sets of two are so close with each other. Mm-hmm. And like, and also they play together.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And that just made me, it makes me especially, I think if we lived near all of them and he was always hanging out with all of them, yeah. I would feel differently.
Right.
But we don't, and he doesn't. And so it does make me a little sad that he doesn't have, you know, that kind of companion. But as every time I say this, someone's always like, well, you can't guarantee that they're going to be friends with their siblings. I'm like, of course you can't. I'm not saying that you can. I'm just saying in my family.
That's this not is, what I was asking. So
no, yeah. I know.
So back off, I'm just, listeners.
Yeah, I'm just preempting that because people always say that. So to answer your question... Yeah, it did make me a little sad.
Hmm.
But interesting. I know you had the opposite reaction.
Well, it wasn't so much the opposite reaction. I mean, honestly, the biggest takeaway was that I wish that they lived closer together, these cousins.
Yeah.
Not that we need more children.
Right.
That was my takeaway.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, look, these are already fully baked. We can go borrow these for a little bit.
And they like all really like each other. Like it's really sweet.
Maybe because they don't see each other that often.
Maybe.
I mean, look, Sam was really... Did you see him coming up to Steve and I while Steve and I were playing PlayStation?
No.
Oh, he's like, what is this? I want to play.
Aww.
Can I play? And I was like, yeah, just give it a second. He's like, but I want to play. And I was like, okay, once we're done with this, I promise you can play. And he's like, okay. Are you done? And I was like, yeah, here. And then I showed him. I was like, okay, so right now we're playing Home Run Derby. And you just have to, when this ball comes, hit the X, and that'll swing the bat. And he's like swinging it. Misses a couple, hits a home run. He goes, am I good? I was like, yeah, that's pretty good. He's like, am I better? Am I the best? And I'm like, yep. You're definitely, that was amazing. Aww. And he's also like, what's the goal here? Do you want to hit the people in the face? And I was like, yeah, I mean, ideally you want to get it over the fence and hit it into some people.
To be clear, he's 6.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if we were like, he's 17. Yeah, no. No, he's 6.
Well, he's like, do you hit the people? And I was like, yep, your goal. He said, do you hit the people? I said, yep, your goal is to hit as many of the people with the far, far back in their face. And he's like, oh, great. He was into that. Oh, and I was boy. Like, he's like, is this the only game you guys have? And I was like, it's the only game we have now, yes. In my mind, I was like, if I fired up like Red Dead or
oh, God.
GTA, like, I think he would fully lose his mind. He's like, I play Minecraft. I'm like, you
Our
do?
Sister-in-law
I was like, on a computer?
Would kill you.
And he's like, no, I play it on Nintendo. I'm not good at computer. I was like, aww. All right.
Aw. Aw. That's really cute.
Anyway, so that's my interaction with a 6-year-old.
Yep.
But I did find it interesting that Steve did not offer up his controller.
Oh.
And I was like, just because he was hitting, and I was like, let the 6-year-old play. Anyway, whatever. All right. I was like, here. Maybe it was because Steve also doesn't have a PlayStation.
I was just going to say, like, you're the one with the PlayStation.
I'm the one who has it with him, you know. I'm the one who actually, believe it or not, everyone, traveled with my PlayStation. A specific carry-on.
You know what I was thinking? I was like, we should have just brought the Switch. So much smaller.
That wouldn't have helped me.
I know, but just like to have a video game.
In the middle of my Diamond Dynasty run on MLB The Show, which, by the way, everyone listening, I had stubs, you know? I had 32,000 stubs, and I was like, can I buy any players to help me fill up my teams? And like, no, because all these players are very, like, all the players I don't have for like the 7 or 8 teams that I don't have every player are super expensive in this fake currency. Mm-hmm. Mike Trout, for instance. If you wanted to buy the stubs, you get 150,000 stubs for $99.
Okay.
Mike Trout, if you want to buy Mike Trout in the game, in the in-game market, he's 440,000 stubs.
That's a lot of stubs.
That's like 200 and some dollars. Anyway, I took my paltry 32,000 stubs and bought 20 packs of cards, and I was opening them. And right there on that couch, honey, I got Mike Trout. Opened it up, and I was like, oh, I've never seen this color background before. And then like he walks out as a silhouette.
Wait, so then you actually get him?
Well, I have him now.
Oh.
So now I can play with him on my team and stuff like that.
But those cards are just random. You don't know what you're going to get.
Yes, the packs are very random.
Okay. Yeah.
But it was very exciting to open up a pack, an MLB The Show 2021, and get a Mike Trout. Everyone listening who doesn't care, you can continue listening now. I'm done.
Okay. Let's read this email from
Liz. Goes for you too, Dory.
Yep. Thank you. All right. We are taking our first flight with a little one this September to see family in LA, actually, with our 11-month-old. I was really feeling for you listening to the pod this week about the saga you went through last week getting to the East Coast. I've been taking notes from you on this pod and on Forever 35 regarding travel with a baby. However, one thing you mentioned that made my ears perk up was that you checked Henry's car seat. We've been debating whether to bring our own giant heavy car seat or rent one through the rental car company. I understand AAA members can get one free at certain rental companies or ask our family to pick up a gently used one on Facebook Marketplace for us. What was your experience with bringing your own along? Any special advice on that topic? Thanks so much for the pod. Congrats on your book, Dory. I'm number one on the hold list at my local library. Liz in Chicago with one husband and 1 9-month-old and about 1,200 square feet. No hot dogs yet this year, but many brats.
Interesting. I was going to say, Chicago, it's interesting. But then the brat thing, I was like, okay.
So my only thought on this is I personally do not want to rely on a rental car company to have a car seat for me. Mm-hmm. Because I have just anecdotally heard too many people with stories of like we reserved a car with a car seat, but then when we got to the counter, they were like, oh, we're out of car seats. It's not guaranteed, you know, or just like some,
yeah,
or like they had the wrong car seat, or they only had a booster seat and it was for a 6 month old, you know, just something. And so in my mind, relying on the rental car company or even like a car service to have like the right car seat, I just don't want to leave that to chance, because that is like,
well, then you're stuck.
Then you're really
stuck.
You can't
go anywhere.
You're really, really stuck. And so I felt like I want to have my own car seat. The end.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I feel about that. You could ask your family to pick a gently used one up on Facebook Marketplace, but would they like meet you at the, like, how would that work? They would meet you at the airport?
I would say the following. If you're getting picked up by members of your family, having them pick up you a used, gently used car seat and putting it in the car and meeting you at the airport, great idea. If your plan is to rent a car from the airport rental place and then commute to your family's home, I would say, especially knowing LAX, I would say that you'd want to travel with your car seat.
Yep.
So if possible, I would say, hey, gently used car seat family member, put it in your car and come pick us up at the airport.
Yeah.
And then you have that car seat to go with you. And then you can, you know, if it's convertible, you can leave it. If they have the space or whatever, you can leave it there. Donate it otherwise, or.
Yeah. I mean, I like, to echo Matt's point about renting a car at LAX, it's always a shit show there. Pardon my language, to rent a car. And with an 11 month old to be like getting on the shuttle with all your shit to the rental car place, waiting in that definitely long ass line.
Yeah.
Get to the front and like, and then they probably don't have the car you reserved.
Don't have a car seat.
They don't have the car seat. It's not like, You're now with a child who has been on, you know, a flight for a really long time. Like, it's just, what I'm saying is, if you can, have someone pick you up.
Yes.
And
also a thing you could do is, like, if they don't want to, you know, if you don't want to put them through that hassle or trouble of, like, Facebook Marketplace getting a car seat, you know, get one on your end and ship the car seat. It'll be like, you know, the car seat shouldn't be that heavy. I'm guessing it would probably cost like, I mean, you know, also if you UPS it ground, like, I'm just saying, do it far enough in advance.
You can also,
it'll cost you like $20 to
order
send.
And order
an Amazon
a
one.
New car seat on, yeah, Amazon or Target and get it shipped to them.
Yeah.
Okay. This is from Megan. Hi, Shafrira family.
But if you're going to get it shipped to them, don't like time it out so it like gets there the day before or the day you arrive.
Yeah, make sure
get
it gets
there
like
a
few days
in
advance. A
week and a half before.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks so much for continuing the pod through your parenting adventures. And Dory, congrats on your book. I pre-ordered and was so excited to see it on my Kindle when I woke up this morning. Anyway, since the topic of speech therapy has come up, thank you for talking about it. I'm wondering if anyone has had any success with feeding therapy in toddlers. My science baby is almost 2 and much pickier than the typical toddler. He pretty much eats only snack-type foods, crackers, cookies, fruit, applesauce, and occasionally yogurt. Waffles are his only hot food. It's been a source of great frustration and sadness for me, so we're starting feeding therapy. We've tried all the strategies of serving what we eat over and over again. It doesn't work, and it's only gotten worse for us. Mm. Wondering if anyone else has been through this and hopefully has some words of encouragement or success to share. Also, to the listener wondering about the best things at Disney World, Matt had great recommendations, but I have 3 others.
Whoa.
Big Thunder.
Oh, the email cut out. I'm just kidding.
Big Thunder Mountain, the Yachtsman Steakhouse.
Yep. Yachtsman Steakhouse. Look, I mean, I'm not sending people to resorts.
And Narcoossee's.
Narcoossee's.
What's
is
that?
In Narcoossee's. I feel like the Yachtsman is at the Yacht and Beach Club.
It's at the Grand Floridian.
The Yachtsman is at the Grand Floridian?
No, Narcoossee's.
Oh, there you go.
It is a seafood-focused restaurant. That's why you didn't recommend it. You don't like seafood.
This is a misnomer my wife has about me. Thank you.
What seafood do you like?
Fucking Admiral's platter from Legal Seafoods. If you fry some whole belly clams up, sign me up.
Okay, any other seafood
Haddock,
do you like?
I'm in.
So you like you only like New England seafood?
Yes, essentially. Okay. Lobster rolls, I'm here
that's
for
true.
It.
You do like a lobster roll. That's for Megan in 2,400 square feet in a suburb of D.C. Two adults, one tiny toddler. Had a few hot dogs earlier this year, but keep forgetting to buy more.
We enough. Were, Sarah, you know, as listeners of this particular episode will remember, BJ's Wholesale Club, Dory and I went, and they had KM Natural Casing hot dogs, but there were 30, what was it, 36 or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it was so many hot dogs.
And I stared at it, and I was like,
you really fondled
I want that. I, like, squeezed the bag. I was like, is this airtight? Is it supposed to be shrink-wrapped? And ultimately, I said, this family pretends they don't eat pork, like weirdos, and then are constantly eating bacon. It's like the most bizarre Jewish thing I've ever seen in my life.
It's true.
So if I roll up with a hot dog that says pork on it, they won't touch it. So no one will eat the hot dogs except me, and then I don't want to be the one eating 37 hot dogs. Because I would, because I love a KM Natural Casing hot dog. So my hot dog count out here in New England, zero. Very annoying. What was it? What did we order? We ordered something. And your mom and dad were both plowing through it, and there was pork in it.
Pork fried rice?
Yes. Yeah, just going to town on it. And then, like, but, like, also, like, if you say, here's some pork fried rice, they'll be like, oh, no, no.
But it was, there was clearly pork in it.
Yes.
Oh, they, and people were eating those spare ribs.
The spare ribs, yes. Yeah. Which I also was like, okay, well, never mind.
Okay.
I let them go.
All right, this
and then
is
raving about the bacon this morning.
That wasn't my parents, though. That was
your yeah, but your mother was like, boom.
Oh, was she?
That spare piece I had sitting in the thing.
Well, I'm not going to say what I was going to say. All right.
That's because Avishai wasn't around?
No.
Oh. She doesn't understand bacon is pork?
No.
Oh, we've got so I can't wait. Someday,
this
guys.
Is from B. Greetings from a longtime listener. I found your
Henry's poop?
Yes. Found your podcast via Nerdist about 100 years ago and have been listening as a friend ever since. My husband, having survived childhood cancer twice, is unable to conceive, and your podcast helped me through 6 unsuccessful rounds of IUI. We're now on a journey to become foster parents, an equally stressful journey, but where we believe our path has led. I'm writing regarding a very serious issue. Mm. Matt.
Oh, no.
Sigh. While I appreciate your love of Disney...
Yes.
I think I have to respectfully disagree with regards to many of your Walt Disney World dining recommendations.
Oh, please. Go ahead.
Best
is this
breakfast.
AJ, by the way?
This is B. best breakfast. B says it's at Donald's Safari at Tusker House in Animal Kingdom.
Oh, this sounds like AJ. AJ's a big Tusker House fan as well.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, go ahead.
Best lunch. La Cantina de San Angel and Hell Angel in Epcot, or perhaps Casey's Corner at Magic Kingdom for hot dogs.
Wait, you're going to send someone to Casey's Corner for lunch? And also the Mexican restaurant at the Mexico Pavilion? Okay, B, I get you. I feel you. I know you. But okay, continue.
Best dinner. Tie between Tiffin's in Animal Kingdom and Teppan Edo in Epcot.
Oh, they have a teppanyaki restaurant in Epcot at the Japan Pavilion, which is good if you want that, but I don't typically enjoy that.
Best snack. Buy everything at Caramel Kushe. Kuche? Kuche?
Kuche. Are you okay?
In Germany. Every single thing.
Yeah, although I will say, before you hit the Germany Pavilion, stop in Norway and get some of their Danishes. Thank you.
And don't forget the resorts. Kona Cafe at the Poly for Tonga Toast.
Oh, you are AJ.
California Grill for dinner and fireworks on the rooftop of the Contemporary. Kimonos at the Swan for sushi
my
and
God.
Karaoke.
I'm not doing sushi and karaoke while I'm in Disney.
Everything
B.
on the menu at Topolino's Terrace in the Riviera.
Oh, my God. You are AJ.
The bread service at Sana while watching giraffes at the window at the Animal Kingdom Lodge. And when open,
Sana,
beignets.
By the way.
Sana. Beignets from the French Quarter.
Sure, beignets from the French Quarter are delightful, but, you know, again, you're sending people to... I don't like to send people to hotels.
Just writing this is making me hungry. Currently looking at flights. Also, if you don't ride the Carousel of Progress, you're missing a quintessential experience. Okay, to be fair, you have been repping the Carousel of Progress for a very long time.
To be fair, I carry on my phone a video of the entire Carousel of Progress.
Yeah, so
I am a Carousel of Progress stalwart defender.
Yeah, I feel like B has not been paying attention because you often bring up the Carousel.
I maybe did not recommend it
in that specific time
because I was going for one at a time, and also I was trying to like go for like to sort of like have someone who doesn't go to Disney often feel like they did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's why I said the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, I believe.
Well, B continues, it's the only attraction at Walt Disney World that Walt himself ever rode. Cheesy and outdated, yes, but essential.
Yes, but Walt rode it in the other direction. That's right. Before it moved, it rotated clockwise. Whoa. Now it rotates counterclockwise. I mean, that was from, I'm talking, this was at the 1964 World's Fair in New York. The Carousel of Progress. GE's Carousel of Progress.
All stomach growling aside, thank you for inviting all of us to be part of your journey. All us eggheads feel like we're your neighbors chatting along with you on the back deck. Well, you're chatting along with us on the screened-in porch tonight.
Yes.
Your contributions to a group of people who are desperately in need of a community during a very stressful time cannot be tallied. Wishing you all the best. Be in Western Pennsylvania with one husband, two American Bulldogs, one rescue German Shepherd, 130 pounds. Now get this.
Mm-hmm.
Purchased about 600 hot dogs so far this year. My husband is a dog trainer, so I may tip the scale.
Oh, I see. You purchased, but how many did you consume?
Yeah, good question.
I really thought you were going to slip up and tell me you were from Texas, and I was definitely sure you were AJ. Okay. By the way, B, why don't you go watch the Disney food blog on YouTube? Everything you love, they love. So, and that brings us to the reminder that you all can get extra episodes of this podcast with bonus fun at patreon.com/excellent adventure. Become a patron, support the show, or just order Dory's book. Up to you. Huge thank you to everyone who has supported us at the $5 level and above. You get your name read on the podcast each month in addition to that bonus podcast. The $10 level, you get two bonus podcasts every month. So thanks to the following people: Carolyn Land,
Jennifer HS,
Angie James,
Tyler Rosewood,
Abba N,
Alan L,
Alec Meredith and Fletcher Babel, way to Florence.
Wow.
My rude. God. So just going old school here. Alessandra Ragusa,
Alex Bell,
Alex Liu,
Amanda Fujita,
Amanda Lighty,
Amy,
Anne Flucker,
Anon, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 anonymous.
April Halwerda,
Ariana Perry.
April, nice to have you. Ashley Sicily,
Aurora and Zelda,
Becca Foster,
Bianca Loria,
Bradley Johnson,
Britt S. Baker,
and Bruno Macias,
CJ,
Carly Moore,
Carolyn N,
Kathy Hill,
Chinami Worth,
Christina Smith,
Cynthia Meisner,
Debbie Meredith, aka Lex Conan's mom,
Diana
Robinson.
Diane M. Martin.
Big Diana Martin, Wing of Excellent Adventure. Dr. Beverly Crusher.
Edwina Goodingham.
Edwina Morgan Bodo.
Elena Paling.
Elizabeth Girado.
Emily F.
Aaron
Gudge.
There goes the Gudge. Aaron Turley.
Frederick Waugh.
Greg Watchorn.
Greta Truitt.
Hannah Crowder.
Hillary Berry.
Jackie G.
Jennifer Steele.
Jess Branch.
Jesse Hendricks.
Jessica Grigsby.
Jessica... She sent something in with how to pronounce her last name.
Manolovich? That's not how you say it? Maybe. We have been butchering it all this time, Jessica. I'm sorry.
Manolovich? Manolovich?
I mean, I would say it wrong, apparently. Manolovich is how I would say that, and I would say it wrong then. Jessica, I'm sorry. Phonetically spell it next to your name.
Julia Schulenberg.
Julie McLaren.
Kane McCall.
Caitlin Donahue.
Kat C.
And Kate in Chicago. Thank you, Kate in Chicago. Now, Dory says there's 10 pages, and this is page 9. Is there any more? No, that's it. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Enjoy Tusker House, you weirdo. No, I'm just kidding.
Bye.